Thank you, my brother. Love you, Ron. Praise God. Oh, this is wonderful. Praise God. I greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful Savior we have. You may be seated. Amen. I'm always thankful when I'm invited to come and be with this church. It's always a joy to me to get lost in the worship and the praise unto the Lord. I am a worshiper. I love it. Now, I was thinking this morning that I would like to be a little stronger so that I could dance more in the house of God. You know, when you get a little older, there are things that sort of wear out a little bit. And I used to be quite violent in my dance. But then as I grew older, I learned to glide. And if I'm seated for any length of time, sometimes quick movement, I lose my balance a little bit. But I said to the Lord, I'm going to keep dancing, and you make me strong so I can. And I know that He will and is, and I'm here this morning to stand with you and bless the Lord. I love your pastor, his wife, and the leadership here, the family, their wives, and the children. We are the family of God, and I belong here, and I thank you for your fellowship and your love to us in Jesus' name. I almost went up in the rapture when you were singing that song, Let the Streets Be Filled with Music, or what was that song that you sang? And Let the Music Flow or something. And it was good, really good. There is a move today in the world. And why I'm mentioning this, it is to confirm to you, the people of God, and to confirm to this church the purpose of the Lord in your lives. Something is going on in the world, and many times it is lost to our understanding because we fail to recognize it and see the dark emphasis that is taking place in the world. The church, by and large, was chosen by Jesus to be a light unto the world. He chose that. The church is to have more than individual strength and individual purpose. I thank God for my salvation and the ministry that has come from the house of the Lord that has brought the realism of salvation to us individually. We have an individual salvation. Amen. But we also have a divine purpose to God's created world. And things are happening in the world that many times we lose out on our effectiveness because we do not know the breadth or the depth of it or where it has come from. Jesus, by and large, is going to give us, and he is preparing us to have an effect in his created world. The earth is the Lord's. And everything that's in it belongs to God. And if you know the Bible very well, the whole world, the whole created earth is going to be filled with a knowledge of God. Come on now. But there is a thing that is happening in the world that we must recognize. Today in our nation, I'm worried because truth and purity and righteousness is not valued. Our government is destroying the authority of truth and righteousness. What is right is not being valued. The enemy is doing everything he can to destroy righteousness and the value of truth. There's a lot going on in the world. There is an attack against families. There is attack in our school systems, public school systems, against what is right. There is an attack against marriage. There is an attack of anything that's right and good is under attack today. How is it being attacked? What did Jesus send his disciples to in Luke chapter 9? He called his disciples and said unto them, I give you power. I give you power and authority. The devil today is trying to take what is right and cause its authority to be lost. What is right, in the eyes of many teachings, doesn't have authority today. That's the enemy's trick. Where did it come from? Well, he says, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. But he recognized that there is a dark attack against what is right. And in chapter 10 of the book of Luke, again, he talked about the powers of darkness. When the disciples had been sent out, and came back and were rejoicing over their victories. How is it that the Lord sent the disciples out and magnified and spoke of these dark things that they should encompass? Was it just that they were to cast out devils and demons, as he said to the people? And to his disciples, cast out devils. Oh, we in the church many times just run over that. We just say, well, we don't have demon-possessed children, and we don't have demon-possessed people. And so therefore, that part of the convicted purpose of Jesus Christ to the disciples is lost to a modern generation. Things that are going on, the wave of what is going on, even the influence of that wave at many times is missed by God's people. They go over that and they say, well, verse 19 of chapter 10 in the book of Luke, it goes on and says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There is quite a theme. Please listen to me this morning. Jesus magnified the disciples to them that they were going to meet the influence of darkness when they go out to preach. Now, brother and sister, that hasn't stopped today. And when he talks to them about cast out devils, what was he saying? What kind of aspect or influence when he sent his people out to take authority and control over darkness? It's going on in our nation today. It came from a way back in the Garden of Eden. It came from back there that the enemy, who is subtle, he is subtle, and he has decided, I know how to make right and purity of no effect. I will be subtle, and there will be a subtle attack so that what is right is not even going to be recognized. Things are going on in our nation that are not right. They are wrong. But God has taken and said to you and I that he is going to bring authority to what is right. Dark powers are waging war against things which are even morally right. To think that in a, well, just a few days, they were going to have another thing going on that's going to cause many people bondage and death. And even our leaders don't know what to do with it. Well, let me tell you that in the book of Acts, when, or Romans, when they were trying to speak of what shall we do, the Lord says, I want you to be wise concerning evil. Wise concerning evil and simple concerning it. I many times face people and they're talking to me, well, what is taking place here? Right has no authority, it seems today. Right is even mocked. Where did it come from? It came from way back in the Garden of Eden. It came, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? And then he goes on and has a conversation with the woman. Note that term and the subtlety of it. Hath God said? No respect. Hath God said? Yet before, in the chapters of God's creativity, that was not what he was called. For our understanding, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, please hear me now, it says God created the heavens and the earth. But then when you read his creative powers and you read about the things that he created for us and things that you and I are to experience, his name is not in the Bible or just God referred to as God. He is referred to as the Lord God, which means the authority of God, which means the ruling God, which means the authority of righteousness that God has put in the earth. That's what it means. You Bible students, when you go home today, you look up how many times in chapter 2 it says the Lord God. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. He made every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused rain to rain upon it. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. Not just some strange power, not some God to be measured amongst the idolatrous nations that had their own gods. Our God is the Lord God, the ruling God. So when you go through here, you'll find he has spoken, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Then it goes on and it speaks about the Lord God. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat. I want you to emphasize in your memory and as you think with me this morning of what God is saying and what he's going to do now. Why do we worship? Why do we preach and teach our people to sanctify their souls? Why do we preach on growth in the kingdom of God? Because there is a purpose. Our purpose is to bring and see restored back to the earth the influence of the only true and wise Lord God. You can't read the newspaper. You can't watch television until you see that simple things that are right are receiving no authority. I want to talk to you this morning about why and what are we getting ready to do and how are we going to present our testimony to the world. We are going to do it because there has been a restoration of truth and authority to right things. It's right for a man to have one wife. It is right to have no immoral practices. No matter what our teachers say, right must have authority. And that's our job. No matter what the government says, no matter what the Supreme Court says, God Almighty only responds to what is right. Amen. Our nation seems to be going down the pathway of take authority away from what is right. Now, I read to you, now, the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, that's a confusing thing to many simple people. They try to use that as an argument. Forget it. It's not worth the powder to blow it. And he said unto the woman, notice the subtlety. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. When God created things, and he said, this for you, he was called the Lord God. His name was emphasized, the Lord God, the God of authority. Now Satan comes along in a subtle attack. Who is he to lump the Creator God under the title God? And he says it to Eve in a subtle way. Hath God said. Why didn't he use the whole name? Because it denotes authority. The Lord God. And anything that takes away from the authority of what is right is from the pit. I don't have to pray about telling children in my province, maybe not your province, but they're trying to tell children in my province, you can choose whether you're male or female at the age of 4. Doesn't take much discernment to tell you that's wrong. Are you here this morning? After we are filled with the Holy Spirit, after we have our whole church in the victory of living Christianity on a daily basis, then what do we have to do? We have to restore our people and the emphasis to only be obedient to what is right and to give authority to what is right. The demonic spirit of Satan today is taking away authority. There is no authority as far as they're concerned. They become gods unto themselves. Who is Satan that he should presume to say, and hath God said? And even the woman doesn't pick up on it. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. Listen, there's a lot of people that the legal application of the blood is applied and they are saved. They are truly graced with the mercy of God. They're saved. But they do not know Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no authority sometimes. Oh, I have my opinion. Well, your opinion is going to be judged. Because truth doesn't need an opinion's backing. And the Bible comes along and says words to us like this, and ye shall know the truth. Satan is on the job today to try and mystify truth. Take its authority away. Then we can get the churches, we can get all the teachers to preach anything, say anything. We are here in this church to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go out of here today, you may not be a miracle worker. God may never have used you to prophesy. You may feel very just simply, I'm just part of the troops in the place. But you are part of those that recognize the truth of what is right versus what is wrong. In our nation, there is a move, a dark move. Take authority away from what's right. Have I preached too long to you this morning? You know, I was droning on yesterday talking to the young people, and some of them graciously came to me this morning and said, we liked it. Since I'm talking about authority, since I'm talking about what is the purpose of this church, what is your next step? he sent them out and gave them power and authority. You and I believe in all the powers of God. We believe that he has the power to heal, as was spoken this morning in an exhortation. We believe that he has given us invitation this morning to enter into the waters. Can I hear an amen? He said, I'm a healing God. That's the truth. It's not just to be looked at as an opinion. It is the truth. That's the only thing that's going to set us free. I'm talking about the authority of what is right this morning. You don't have to be talked in to you should worship God. That's only right. Why are you not thundering amens at me? You Bible students, you should love the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians was mentioned in prayer yesterday, was mentioned here by our sister that was giving an announcement this morning, and God wanted to do something. God intended his people have a revelation and have an understanding. And I'm going to read it to you because it is written twice in one book. God is not obligated to be patient with us. We should hear, listen, observe, and understand what we need. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But if we constantly go to service and listen, and we're filled with doctrine and it has no effect in our life, I'll tell you, brother and sister, it is going to cause problems. Pretty soon, you will not give what is right according to the Scriptures its authority. I have been in the ministry almost 60 years. I cannot tell you how many people have come to me with their opinions about tithing. Where did we get the bald-faced authority to think that we have a God and don't have to give to him? That's the creative responsibility for every tribe on the face of the earth. You go with me to the foreign fields, to the tribes in the jungle. They have their own God, but in the midst of it all, they give. Come on, that's a good thought. Got to do a great golden Buddha on the hills out of Nagoya, Japan. I was walking, taking a walk. I wondered where this path goes. And I followed that path down for about a half a mile, and in this, the middle of this bamboo jungle in Japan, was this monstrous Buddha. And this Buddha had been painted gold, and the door was open. So I just went in the door, and there were offerings unto their God. To have a God means that you give. If you do not give to your God and come up with your opinions cockeyed, God doesn't have tithing in the New Testament. God doesn't. Listen. Though we tell you, it is only right to give to your God. Did Satan attack you and take the authority of what is right? The Bible doesn't have to say, thou shalt not smoke, or thou shalt not take drugs. Oh, well, it's not written in the Bible. I don't have to obey it. Listen, don't you confuse the issue. You know what God means. Being so deep that even you don't understand what's going on. The book of Ephesians, two strong prayers regarding people that didn't know about the truth of right and the authority of God and their place in the Lord. Paul prayed and he said these things, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was he praying about? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, there it is again, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means authority. That means rulership. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, all powers, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I was going to talk about these two things this morning, but I don't feel to do that. You and I both know what he's talking about. God is the answer, not the question. Whatever he says is right. And whatever he says is right should be obeyed by the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he says, listen, my church, my people, they need to understand. They need to have wisdom. Wisdom deals with what to do, how to answer this, what is the practice, and the revelation of the knowledge of him. I spoke yesterday to the young people about knowing God and knowing his ways. I drew them an example of something preposterous that related to a church activity. And we got to know the ways of God. You don't need to know whether the Bible says thou shalt do this or thou shalt do that before you obey. You must give respect unto your master and your creator and your savior. God says this in poetic language, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I constantly wish and pray and think in my heart, think prayers. Oh God, don't let mine eyes grow dim. What I'm saying is there, don't let me become blinded to what God's purpose and his truth is. I do not want to be blind. I want to be able to see it. And so here is Paul praying for the Ephesian church. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding, they must not have had full understanding, or the Holy Spirit would have said, you do have understanding. You do have faith. You do have convictions, as he says in other books. But he's saying, Paul's praying incessantly in chapter 2. He says, I'm praying for you that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Listen, if you do not give God respect and honor, and if you do not give him authority, there will be no authority over the circumstances in your life. What you give to God, God gives back to you. True word. You don't give him authority, you won't have authority. You may even have unrighteous things going on. I speak to those that are grieving for loved ones that they have of their progeny. I'm not only talking about sons and daughters. I'm talking about aunts and uncles and those that have been so driven away from God's authority. And we're wondering, what can we do to the world? Somebody says, oh, well, all we've got to do is work miracles. Listen, Jesus worked miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance. It didn't convert the people. Why, on the cross they were still saying these words, "Show us a miracle and we'll believe in you." Why? Because something had lost its authority. Being the Son of God and God, there's demonic powers that are saying, "Hath God said?" Israel did not serve God as the Lord God. They served God as some lost Messiah. And God is saying, "I want your eyes to be open, that you understand something." And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I'm not going to preach long, but in the next chapter, chapter 10, it uses the word power twice. Maybe I should read it to you. I don't know if I'm on beam or emphasizing some of these things, but he said this. Power is mentioned twice in one scripture. And God is saying to them, "I want you to be aware of the power that is revealed to you." What kind of power, Lord? "According to the mighty power." According to the, that word has been translated power. That word is a fuller word for authority. It is according to the authority that raised Christ from the dead. Paul prayed it and said, "I want you to be aware of this. I want you to know it. I want you to understand how important it is for you to give authority unto truth and unto God in himself." The mockery of Satan. Has God said this to you? And the people are listening, even Eve, subtly affected. "Well, God said these things to us." I find that's too common. I find that too disrespectful. My God is not numbered amongst the gods of the earth. Isaiah was lifted up on one occasion, and he was so troubled with Israel. And he spoke in the first person as though God was speaking. And he said, "To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal?" Equal with what? Equal with your desires? Equal with the pleasures of the world? Equal with these things? Or shall I be equal? That connected word, that question that God was saying unto the people, it elicited a response. The people should have said, "No, you are the Lord God Jehovah, the master, the ruler, the one that controls the whole of the universe." Unless the Church of Jesus Christ brings back respect for the things of God, all of them, the house of God, Bible, prayer, clean living. Go ahead, you number it. Do your own preaching this morning. Those things must have authority. It comes to me now, you can write this down. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, after there were many churches that the Spirit of God had spoken to them, you come to the church called Philadelphia. It was not a bad church. But there is a last clause there to the book of Philadelphia, and it says, if you do not keep the statutes and the commandments of the Lord, you will be in danger of losing your crown. What does a crown in the Bible represent? It represents rulership. I am here to suggest and say that as we worship and as we are teaching and wanting sanctification to take hold in the lives of our people for one purpose, so that to the world there will be an evidential authority that we are submitted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just any God, not just any opinion, not just any idea. We are authority. We are submitted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a scripture verse regarding wisdom, revelation, wise ways, revelation. You can look it up for yourself, but in the book of Proverbs it says, "The Lord God giveth wisdom." He tells us what to do. That's what we're here about this morning, to be told by the Holy Spirit what we should do. Out of the Lord's mouth cometh knowledge, cometh information, cometh truth and understanding. Any Christian that says, "I don't understand what I'm going through," or "I don't understand what God wants," or "I don't understand this and I don't know that," that is always a sign of a built-in question, a reserved commitment. "I don't know." The Bible says that a fool need not err thereby. The Bible says little children can lead us. The Bible comes along and tells us, He gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom, what to do. And He goes, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous," for those that do things right, for those that give authority under what is right. Someone comes to you and says, "Well, I used to go to that church, but they expect that everybody should go to services all the time. They expect that everybody should tithe. They expect that everybody should do this or do that." Listen, don't have anything to do with ignorance like that, because God gives sound wisdom. And the danger of our nation is everything is on the people's rights. And they're taking away, as I'm speaking to you this morning, the rights of what is right. Our nation can't recognize what is just plain and simple right. Sad to say, many believers get caught up in that. That could be a slight technicality of rebellion. Just a slight. You say, "Oh, we don't want him to come back here anymore. I'm too old to worry now." Jesus said these words. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous," for those who practice right things. God gives sound wisdom. If you're not going to practice righteousness, don't ask me to prophesy over you the will of God. It doesn't work. Some people just like to hear prophecy because they like to hear the gracious words that God says about them, and they go out the door saying, "Well, you know, I'm thinking this over." God doesn't allow thinking over. At what instant I speak? Jeremiah, at that very critical moment, You're making decisions. I remember being part of a presbytery one time, Brother Ron, and this person did not hear the words that they wanted to hear. And so they came and brought us a sheet of paper with the words that they would like to hear. Listen to this about being a protector. How many want the protection of the Lord God for family, business, and for everything? Well, God does that for the righteous. He is not obligated to do it for the unrighteous. Promises are to the righteous. We've heard so much about the grace of God that we think it works in everything. Grace taken away from the cross at Calvary is disgrace. I would like to hear you really clap on that one. I'm talking to you about protection. He said here, God comes and speaks knowledge, understanding to those that will give authority to it. Then he says this, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Sound wisdom, where they don't say, oh, this is not going to work. No, whenever God says something for us to practice, it works. It works. When God says to us that he lives in the praises of Israel, you don't try it out to see if it works. It works. It works. You want God to be with you today, start praising him, thanking him, singing unto him, and make an attempt to gather close to him. Because the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. How many believers do you know that don't draw nigh unto God and that presume to criticize? Well, I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Well, where are you? You're out in the wilderness. Did you hear a prophetic word this morning on wilderness? It says, he is a buckler. He is a protector. He stops every fiery dart of the enemy. Buckler is a small shield, not even a big shield. God said, listen, when you're righteous, I just need to give you what's right, and it is just a small shield, but it's capable of protecting you. He says, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly, to them that don't scheme and connive and don't have opinions and don't look for ways to get out of truth. He, God, keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints, the pathway of the saints, the lifestyle of the saints, your business, your marriage, your friends. God, I want God to protect me in those ways. I want God to show me the right way to do things. Then, an adverb that relates then, it draws attention to what has been previously said. It is an adverb where we are to have intelligence to look. This is the truth. Then shalt thou know, you shall understand. You will know righteousness and every good path. Psalm 23. He wants your feet, and he wants the feet of every believer in this church to be a good walk, to be a good lifestyle. Come on now. Come on now. It doesn't happen unless you give authority to what is right. Go ahead, clap. That was a good statement. Well, I thank you for listening to me this morning. It is my simple prayer that I would be able to identify with what God says is right. I don't want to be part of a ministry that has a scandal that says, well, you know, Brother Davis believes this or Brother Davis believes that. My joy would be in the fact that I'm asking God to teach me. Lord, teach me what is right in your eyes versus that which is fleshly, versus that which is humanistic. Let mine eyes be open to see what you have stored up for the righteous. Oh God, the mighty powers that you said would be revealed in the righteous. Don't let me just skate over that I've heard so many sermons that doesn't make sense anymore, or I'm waiting for a far off day when God will really move. God is moving right now to the hungry. Subtle form of attack. What am I identifying that as this morning? Taking what is right and causing it to have no authority. If we in this church give authority to what is right, morally and spiritually, all the mighty powers of God is revealed for us, not only in the church, but in the pathway that you and I walk outside the church. There could be, there may be, key words, something in your life that you know is true and God's been talking to you about it, but you haven't given up yet. And you're not giving authority to that. Or you're confused about something. Can you this morning identify with a closing prayer that commits unto the Lord all of our ideas, all of the ways, but makes us in the church sensitive to what is right? Don't let our Supreme Court, don't let our government, don't let the style and the manner of the world and the systems of the world take away from us what is right. And I mean that other thing too that's so highly immoral, that seems to have the ear of cities and governments and places around the world. I'm talking about the immorality that has been giving the world fits and starts. I don't know if you're sympathetic to that community. Tell me that God loves everyone. Yes, that's a fact. But the Bible says those that receive the truth, God will bless. Come on now. Let's stand up this morning, shall we? I'm praying for people that don't know what to do about the LGBTQ community. Well, we've got to have love in our hearts. Yes, we do. Is it right for your children to do that? Is it right before God? Don't confuse the issue. The Bible says He wants us to be able to recognize what is right from what is wrong. Come on now. And He says, if you will walk in righteousness, I will protect you. And your paths will be glorious, and you will enjoy life. There are many believers today who are not enjoying living. That is far better than the alternative. But I'll tell you how to enjoy living. Give truth and give what God wants its rightful place of authority in your life. You will enjoy living. As I look at the church this morning, my heart is open towards you. I pray, God, that this is not something that I've droned on with. I just see that this demonic thing happened a way back. This disrespect for God and for truth happened a way back in the presumption of Satan to Eve in the garden. Hath God said, who is he to take away the powerful name of the meaning of our God? Who is he to take away authority, might, and dominion? Who is he? We serve the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't feel that there are those that need to weep at the altar this morning because you've been a violent, disobedient person. I do feel that we need to have our eyes open to the subtleties of what's going on around us so that we're not part of it. Can you receive that this morning? I do feel what's next for us in the church is the powers of the Lord to be revealed. What power? Not just miracle-working power, but the power that is the testimony to the world. They serve their Lord. They have an authority that they are obedient to. Can you agree with me? One sentence before we pray. The world is looking for leaders that really know where they're going. And so is the church world. It's looking for leaders that know what to preach, how to lead, how to bring forth righteous practice for the people. Can I hear the, come on now. You honored your pastor, his wife and family this morning. That is right. If you are befuddled in the ways of the world and you're believing TV suggestions and things that come out of the paper and you're getting snowed under by what the world is doing, as we lift up our hands and ask God this morning to enlighten us and give us the reputation that we are the people that give authority unto the Lord God Almighty. Father, this morning in Jesus' name, bless your people. You said that you would cause their paths to be blessed. Oh God, give them a lifestyle whereas it is seen will be honored and jealous. The world will be jealous of it. Father, we pray that the church can have such a move of respect and honor for the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord will be admired, and there will become a yearning in the hearts of people whose lives are empty. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's thank God this morning. In Jesus' name.